Vibrating on all frequencies from the jungle of death, you're listening to Babes in the Woods.
Hello, welcome back. This is Babes in the Woods. We are broadcasting from the jungle of death once again. I am Rachel. I'm joined today again by Lindsay.
Hey, everyone.
And Nyssa.
Hey.
Nyssa actually said hello this time.
We're socializing her.
You did. I was so proud of you. Today, we're going to be discussing Warm Bodies, the new movie that was just released. Before we get to that, though, let's start off with a little week in Babes news. I'll start it off. Lady Nerds were kind of all over this past week. I posted about it a little bit on our blog, but we said goodbye to Liz Lemon this week.
Bye, Liz.
Bye, Liz.
May you always work on your night cheese.
I hadn't really watched 30 Rock in a while, but the last, seven or eight episodes were really good, especially the part where she dressed up as Princess Leia for her wedding.
I also hadn't watched 30 Rock much in recent years, but one of the things I appreciated about its sitcomness was the fact that you could just tune in. Yes, there were overarching plot arcs, but it was a show that could be enjoyed on an episode-by-episode basis, which I think, you know,
really episodic
in the current situations, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I occasionally will watch, and don't judge me, Mike and Molly. Like, if it's just something that's on in the background, I can just turn it on. Like, it'll just be on. And I'm like, oh, there's Melissa McCarthy. She's really the only funny person on the show. So, like, that's all I pay attention to.
I'm kind of stoked a little bit for her Sandra Bullock buddy costume.
Me too!
It looks like Miss Congeniality or Redux, and it looks so fun. Melissa McCarthy plays a surly beat cop. Sandra Bullock is reprising, again, her FBI role, and they have to team up to take down what looks like maybe the least efficient cartel of all time. But it looks so good. They're, like, hanging out and being buddy cops and being ladies and being funny ladies, and I just feel like that's never happened.
I know. I love that it's almost like it's, like, a less serious Lethal Weapon, but with ladies.
I was thinking like. it was the white lady
like
bad boys.
Doing it because they're like awful at life.
Yeah.
Is it like the same character as she did in Bridesmaids? Like the
very similar. Yeah.
But she's like wearing like punk clothes a little bit. Like she's wearing like she looks like, I don't know, like a little bit like a teamster. Like the preview I saw, she was wearing like, I think a jean vest. Anyway, it was amazing. I want a jean vest.
I do also
that's
like
exciting. Like I would watch.
Yeah.
That.
The trailer also has a really I love when like Melissa McCarthy's character is just kind of freaking out. The perp just looks at Sandra Bullock and is like, you should run. Like, you should run now.
Yeah.
Like, all the perps are just afraid of Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, I love it too. But yeah, so yeah, it's true. I'm going to miss Liz Lemon a lot. But I read this really good article. I can't remember if it was on The Hairpin or Persephone or Jezebel about the legacy of Liz Lemon in television and the way that she sort of opened the door for characters, female characters that are career-driven and incredibly weird.
Yeah, like, without Liz Lemon, would we ever have gotten Leslie Knope? Like,
no!
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, like, we all owe her a debt for, like, introducing a different female archetype to television.
Right.
So, also, introducing a female archetype that's the whole, like, eating really terrible food.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, sleeping, like, never, not really caring about her appearance at all and kind of being really immature, which you never see women be, I feel like.
I really like that about her, that she's, like, a doofy kid sometimes. But she does care about her appearance occasionally, like,
oh,
in
no,
the same
does.
Way that actual people do. Like, when she goes on those dates and stuff, and she's like, oh, it's snowing. This is not actually good.
Yeah.
She also gave us some amazing phrases, like, I want to go to there, which I use all
the time. Yes, me too. I said that yesterday.
Shut It Down is another one that I really like.
Working on my night cheese.
Yeah.
Working on my night cheese.
I saw an interview.
So we say goodbye to Liz Lemon. Have you guys watched Downton Abbey?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay. I don't want to ruin anything for Nyssa.
Yeah, we can't talk about it.
I feel
all.
Like I'm the last holdout.
I don't talk
on
about it.
Abby, and I think the only reason I haven't watched is because everyone keeps telling me to.
Yes. Nyssa, I mean that totally happened to me. I will tell
I know
you guys.
It's the worst reason.
I watched Arrested Development for the very first time about a year ago. Like,
oh, really?
Because everyone in my college was like, oh, Lindsay's gonna love Arrested Development. I was like, shut up! You don't know what I like. You don't know who I am. I have feelings
about it. Yeah, no, but then it's amazing
it.
When you finally watch it.
And I was like, this is great. Like, there are times when people know and they're telling you something is good because it's good. But if you're me and you're bad at taking advice or praise or criticism, it's a problem.
I know how that feels, oddly enough.
So anyway, Downton Abbey had a bombshell, so Nissa won't actually be, I think, able to listen to the last part of this episode.
That's okay, I'll just unplug my headphones. Okay.
No, it's alright, we're gonna tape it. We'll get through that. We'll show you. We'll tape it in a way that
you can tape it separately.
We'll tape it separately.
So you don't ruin my, like, ornament.
We don't want to ruin it for you.
No.
It is gonna be really funny, though. It, like,
other lady nerd question I had would be, is the song, the Alicia Keys song, This Girl Is On Fire, is that in any way related to Katniss Everdeen?
I wondered that when I saw it in the commercial.
I don't think it is, but I think it came out before the movie.
Because that's all I can think of every time it happens, is like, I want a montage of her being on fire, and then that song just goes, This girl is on fire! Like, that girl right there, yeah, totally.
That YouTube video has to exist already, right?
Someone must be more on it than me. So I wanted to ask that question because we're on Lady Nerds.
I'm gonna go back to not caring about that song now that I know it's not about the song.
You could just pretend it's about Katniss Everdeen. That's fine.
Belated soundtrack entry. Alicia Keys was just slow on it, and so now it's her single.
The one that is conspicuously not folksy and Americana.
Right? Yeah, not Taylor Swift wandering through a Depression era landscape.
All right, there's that too. I ignore that Taylor Swift.
T-Swift.
I do, too, because the Civil Wars are on that album, and I like them.
Also the Decemberists.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't care how hipster it is, I will never stop loving the Decemberists.
Good for you, Nissa.
I can't.
Stand up for what you believe in. Okay, so why don't we go...
Weird, creative writing lyrics.
Yes. why don't we... we'll start off. We are here to discuss Warm Bodies.
It's our main topic.
Before I get to the synopsis, I thought maybe we could discuss what our preconceptions of this movie were based on its marketing.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Zombie Twilight.
Yeah. Zomblight.
Yeah.
I did not want to see it, actually. I was not happy that I was going to pay money to go see it.
I started to feel better about it. They fixed and corrected. I think they mid-corrected, which I give the marketing team credit for. They put in that preview with that Trog song, I Want to Spend My Life with a Girl Like You. And, like, it's just, like, pictures of his, like, zombie face being like, oh, shit, I have feelings.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this looks like it might be funny and worth a damn. But it certainly didn't help my zombie-like feelings that the lead actress, whose name I'm going to look up so we can refer to her, looks just like a blonde Kristen Stewart. Like, just like one. I would say her acting range... if gauged by this movie, is much better, but I definitely was concerned.
Yeah.
Also,
I think the only reason I was even willing to consider it was because I remember when this was first going to be produced, like, some years ago, reading a synopsis and thinking, there's a short story out there somewhere that, I have a text file somewhere, but I don't have any credits for it. I have no idea who wrote it, but it's, like, a really similar premise. Like, it's from the point of view of a zombie who can't remember anything about himself, but, like, he befriends slash, like, zombie falls in love with another zombie, and they just sort of shuffle together.
Aww.
And it's, like, really sweet, and it's, like, similar, but not quite the same, because it's not the, you know, star-crossed aspect.
I actually read a really crappy young adult book about zombies being integrated into American public high schools following the zombie apocalypse that I can't remember the name of, and I was really concerned that it was based on that. I saw it in my local public library branch, and I was like, oh.
That's a perfect, Warm Bodies follow-up now. You can sell that as a sequel.
Yeah, no, I'm going to find out what that is called, too. It's just, I read that, and it was the worst thing ever, and so I kind of thought that this was based on that, and it wasn't, thankfully.
Thank goodness.
The name of the lead actress in this, by the way, is Teresa Palmer.
Teresa Palmer, okay. It's Teresa Palmer.
I watched all the credits, but I had no idea.
We'll get to Teresa Palmer and Nicholas Hoult here in a little bit. Okay, so for anybody who hasn't seen the movie, it starts off with this zombie who can't remember his name, but he knows it begins with an R, which Nissa is going to talk about. And which I actually think is a really funny joke.
Yeah, me too.
For a number of different reasons. But he travels around this airport and can't remember any, but he does, much in a very Wally-like fashion, collect artifacts of previous, pre-apocalypse, I should say, life, just around the airport, things like snow globes and vinyl records. There's a joke around the internet about how he's kind of a zombie hipster because
he
likes.
He's an emo kid. Listening to like all those like 80s like power pop ballads, and then yeah, he's like he's like emo teenage zombie Wally. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and he falls in love with this girl during a group feed, and he kind of munches on her boyfriend's brains and learns about her.
I really like this conceit of the zombie mythology in this version, P.S., that they get the memories from the brains.
I
like that, too, and that, like, that as a motivation for feeding on people, and brains especially, which has never really been covered outside of, like, Return of the Living Dead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But back to the synopsis.
Well, and essentially what happens is, you know, it is that star-crossed lovers story. Her name is Julie. His name is R. That'll give you an idea of the romance in terms of they have two opposing forces. There's these, what is interesting is there's a subset of zombies called bonies, which are zombies that have gone too far and they've literally torn off all of their own skin. So they're just basically a skeleton and I'm assuming some decomposed muscle.
Gross.
And it's gross. And they will eat anything with a heartbeat. And essentially, as R starts to feel things, he starts to become more alive, as do other zombies, as it kind of starts to spread, much like an infection. However, Julie's
reverse zombieism.
I'm going to talk about that later, too. But they have, Julie's dad is the head of the human forces, and therefore he
John
is
Malkovich to this. And his force teeth.
John Malkovich. So as the story goes on, we won't spoil the ending for you guys, but yes, obviously there's some push and pull from both sides. So what did you guys think of the movie?
It was very enjoyable. Like I have very few complaints.
It was a lot better than I expected.
I feel like it succeeds into, like, you know, like we talked a little bit about mashup culture last time we were hanging out. And like I think it really succeeds as both a zombie movie and a young adult romance. Like I think it works as both. And like I think that the corniness of the young adult romance is what tempers the treatment of the zombie thing in such a way that allows us to suspend our disbelief about the idea that human emotion can cure zombieism.
Right.
Yeah. It's like such a nice idea too in terms of I like movies that do take that more optimistic view of it. What I really liked about it was all the reversals. I thought it was really clever to have it that he as a zombie has to fake being human much in the same way she has to fake being a zombie in order to survive.
I really appreciated that. I thought that was an interesting.
Well, their relationship.
You know, it's funny when they basically just washed the makeup off his face to do it.
Yeah.
Their
relationship is so much more well developed than what we've seen in recent young adult supernatural love stories. Like they really have to grow. They really get to know each other. We really find out about like their similarities of disposition and interests.
Right, there's a development beyond like, oh, he's cute, let's date.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's more than just, oh, he's looking at me intensely. This must be love. We're in 11th grade. You know, like it's, you know, like, oh, you smell good. Let's get married. We're 20.
He doesn't smell good. He's a zombie.
Well, he is kind of, though, like, almost a teenage boy in that he doesn't remember anything previously, so this is a new discovering of women again.
Yeah.
Which I liked the way they handled that, because it is in a very similar to Twilight fashion, a fairly chaste movie.
Yeah.
Like, you have this scene, obviously, they kind of touch on sex in terms of when she's, like, in her bra and underwear, and he's just like, holy shit.
Right.
Adorable.
But which was really cute. Super cute. But it was nice. It didn't feel like it was forced. It felt like a very, if somebody were, you know, reawakening to the human world through the aspect of love, sex wouldn't necessarily be the first and foremost thing. It's like attraction initially. And it's because the whole premise of the movie is emotion. It kind of worked.
Yeah. And like human connection and like there's this notion that the bonies are bonies because they've given up hope. Right. So they like strip off the last vestiges of their humanity and just like give in.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are all these, the phrase given, like, recurs a bunch in the script because he's like, I should just give up. Like, it's easier to be dead inside. And I was like, you know, like, that's the idea there. So, like, there's that really great dream sequence where suddenly he's hanging out in a very, like, sort of high school hangout scenario with the dead boyfriend whose brains he ate, like, Julie's adorable friend, who I thought did a great job. And they're just, they're in a field and they're talking about what they want to be when they grow up. And I thought that was, like, actually, like, such a good little interlude in the movie.
Yeah. I thought it was really well written overall. Like, I loved his voiceovers. And
yes. The sequence where he's voiceovering at the very beginning, and he's like, we must have been so much more connected when we were alive, but really everyone's just on their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, there's also...
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a really good sequence. And the notion of, like, a disconnect and, like, shutting people out is also really central to the film. Like, with the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and even...
Well, which is a very teenage... I thought this was a movie kind of in a very Buffy-like vein in terms of letting zombieism stand for what being a teenager is, which is you feel very alienated, you feel very disconnected from people. Like, the aspect of, God, feeling is so hard. Like, when you first fall in love and how you're just kind of like, oh, it'd be so much easier never to love anyone ever kind of thing.
100%.
God, that's how,
such a teenager.
You're, like, such a teenager. I thought that was really great. It's funny because it's not like it's like a brilliant movie that, you know, you go into and you would talk about it in terms of like, this is a movie that will last forever. But this is a movie that I really enjoyed. And I could totally see years from now, if I were a teenager having seen this movie, I would have been like, this is like one of my favorite movies from when I was
in my life.
Yeah. That would have been a movie really you kind of connected with and that you loved, that you would have drawn from again and again.
And there is a cult classic aspect to it.
I liked it.
Like, you know, like...
I liked it a lot.
With the Rob... Like, the thing is, like, all the supporting cast are so good, too. Like, Rob Corddry.
Yeah.
That sequence.
Great.
After she's kind of broken up with him and run off, right? Like, and he bumps into him and he's like, bitches, man. It's perfect. I was just like... I love him so much. And I like that his name, before he remembers his name, is It's and R. So good.
Well, and I do love, because his name is and he is, like, I mean, this is the other thing we should talk about, really, is that this movie did play heavily on the
words. Not Mercutio?
Yeah, it was way for Mercutio to be his name, so when he was like, Marcus.
Me too. Although I have to say, I didn't notice the Romeo and Juliet thing until the balcony.
The balcony.
And I was like, oh, shit. As soon as she walked out on the balcony, I was like, R and Juliet. Yeah,
all right. Well, it's nice because it's a...
Well,
it's a...
here's my thing is, like, I'd read a review of the movie beforehand. They kind of mentioned the Romeo and Juliet aspect of it. And So I was a little nervous because they said at one point, there's a scene in the movie where it's made really obvious. So if you didn't catch it before, you'll suddenly go, oh...
Yeah.
And so the guy was talking about it, and I was like, oh, God, because he wouldn't say what scene it was. I was like, oh, God, what are they going to do? So I was really dreading that scene initially.
Right.
And I thought she was going to go and start quoting Shakespeare or something, and I was scared. So when it was just that it was a balcony scene in terms of, in the true form of
I noticed that, I got really afraid that it was going to be more Romeo and Juliet and less, like, what I had enjoyed thus far, but they really avoided that, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, I mean,
they did a really good job. I also, like, when we talk about the reversals of how it's his bleeding that makes him... Like, that's a good thing. Like, everybody's so excited that he just got
I was so scared because they shot him in the chest. I was like, fudge, guys.
Does it
fudge.
Hurt?
Yeah. Dude, you got shot in the chest. What if he had died right there and the whole process had to start again?
He was bleeding so much. Yeah. Like, there was this huge puddle of... And I was like, in the water, you bleed more. Get him out.
Why does he even give him a Band-Aid?
So let's have a blood party. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, I liked that... The movie definitely kind of also played with a lot of those in terms of, I really thought the friend, when they show her loading a gun, was going to be all gung-ho and, like, try to protect Julie and, like, shoot R. And instead, she was really about defending her friend, which I thought was great. That's, like, a great thing, too.
She was such a good character.
Yeah,
that actress is the jam. I really liked her, actually, in that movie, Crazy
She's
Sexy Love.
Stuff.
She's
I saw the theater in that.
That is so cute. You guys would like it. I'm not going to talk about it too much because I don't want to down-nabby either of you on the subject. But yeah, she's just great and, like, toothy and different looking and, like, supportive. I really like that the struggle becomes to successfully communicate to adults that, no, I'm really right about this, which is, again, just another, like, teen perspective that is driven home. Like, no, you just don't,
it's a
you're
really
not
good,
listening.
Like, recurring theme.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that happens, I mean, obviously it happens in all young adult and children's literature, like, grown-ups are wrong, and that happens sometimes, but they're not going to listen to you, so you fix your problems. Like,
mm-hmm.
I also liked...
how did we like...
Oh, sorry. The film felt really light to me, and there weren't too many, like, flashback sequences. You know, which I think lately we've had a lot of, like, because we're always exploring the origins of things. Like, I was thrilled that we didn't have a direct flashback, for instance, to, like, Malkovich's wife being killed. You know, like, all the flashbacks we get are specifically because he's eaten Percy Paris's brain. And it's nice. It's a light and deft touch. It's not a ponderous movie. It's not a movie that, like, has a sense of self-importance about it, which is part of my problem with the Twilight movies, is they're also playing with Romeo and Juliet a lot, right? In that first one.
Yeah.
And it's so goddamn, like, dense and annoying. But in this case, it wasn't at all.
Right. I thought that this movie had a really light touch, and I just liked how subtle it was on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that.
I liked that. I really liked the flashbacks we got with Perry's brain too, because they really fleshed out Perry as a character as well.
Yeah.
Even after he died, you suddenly get this picture of who he was.
Right, and why she might have wanted to date him, because before that, we have no idea why anyone would think positively about this thing. Like,
especially,
and it's also a great kind of look at how. At love from her perspective as well, and how it changes, and how when one person changes, the things that you go through.
Yeah.
And how, you know, she's obviously not really in love with him anymore, but they were dating, they were still together.
Yeah.
That was an interesting aspect, too. As a zombie movie, how did we like this?
I think it was successful.
I thought it was interesting. Like, some of the ideas on expanding the mythos were, like, I don't know, I thought they were interesting at least.
I like that it put a new spin on it, and because zombie things can be really bleak, you know, you know, like, there's, as anyone who watches too many zombie movies knows, like, you know, even if your friend gets the slightest bite, right, like, they're done for, like, there's no chopping
dead.
Off the limbs.
Dead now.
Like, it's over, you head shoot them. I really loved,
Because I love you, I'll shoot you myself.
Exactly, like, I really liked... that this movie was like, no, actually, you don't have to. Like, you know, like, it's just, it's a much more positive idea.
And I thought it was interesting that it was the first and only, like, end of the zombie apocalypse movie that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like it's the first time it's ever been like, yeah, this will be over sometime.
It felt like a movie that had freed itself from a zombie mythology. And that's what I liked about it.
28 Days Later kind of did that, but it really was all about starvation. It was more of
it was waiting it out, and, like, it's going to be...
And
then 28 weeks later shattered all of your expectations that things were over anyway.
Right? But then this film, like, the entire thing lasted less than a generation because Julie herself could remember things, like, working.
The internet.
Before. And then, you know, it must have only been, like, 10 years max.
I actually thought they did a really good job also developing the world, like, a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
And it didn't have to be super dystopian. It was a whole city. Like, they literally, it was still a city behind this wall. And I love the idea of characters saying things like, man, I remember the internet. Like, I wish I had the internet to look up whatever it is you have, because you're clearly crazy. Like,
it's
that
such
was
a good point. And I loved, you know, like, we see, like, little touches, like that lady riding her bike, like, with the basket. The goats wandering around, like, they have agriculture. Perry wants to be in agriculture, but he decides that he's going to be a soldier. You know, like, we get these little touches that fill out, like, in however blurry a way, like, a world that we don't get to see a lot of. Because, again, it's not it's a light touch movie that lets you use your imagination.
It gave us enough details to believe what was happening and to sort of understand it, like, but it didn't give us any more information than we needed.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly. I think that's probably why it did so well. Really, is because it's not exposition heavy, but you still have.
It was just immersive.
To go on.
Like, it was an immersion.
Immersive is
like,
a really good way to put it.
Sort of thing. Like, it was just like, well, this is how shit is. Like, you figured out.
I liked that.
Me too.
I did too. So, I really enjoyed it.
Where did we, how do we feel about the two main characters? Because usually in Romeo and Juliet movies, I'm not crazy about the actual main characters. Yeah. I kind of liked them in this one.
They're usually awful. But I really liked both of them, actually. I thought they were both really sensible and, like...
reasonable people.
Identifiable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I really...
I think Julie did enough... Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. Julie is a strong, but not, like... psychotically strong female lead, you know, like she has flaws enough, and we're aware enough of, like, you know, her background that she's relatable, but still like an entity that we're not supposed to identify with so much that she doesn't have a personality.
Right,
you know, like we know
she's
who Julie is. And then R also, like, you know, like the hoodie, like all of his music, all of his snow globes.
I was unemployed.
You know this dude. Like, you have a sense of him. And that's where the movie is successful in a way that I think Twilight just wasn't. Like, where, like, Twilight Isabella is just, like, she's this vague entity. That, like, she's like a mirror that we're meant to, like, look at and be like, oh, I just want to be protected and get a BMW.
Right, she's
and live
a pair
richly.
Of shoes for us to stand in. And
Whereas, like, Julie, I was just like, I'd be friends with Julie. You know, like, that's what I liked about
her.
Yeah. I, like, being notorious for hating female characters far and wide, did not hate Julie.
What?
That's right.
The NISA stamp of approval.
I didn't hate her.
Much sought after, seldom attained.
Like, I was anti-Julie for most of the movie just because I was pro-R at all times. Mm-hmm. But then, like, she turned out to be pretty all right. Like, she made some dumb decisions, but teenagers do. And, like, eventually I came around and was like, actually, she's pretty all right. Like,
yeah. And I mean, I understood her stupid decisions as well. Like, I understood,
absolutely.
Like, I'm
like,
trapped on a plane for days.
You and tells you not to run away. Like, you're going to try and run away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, as you should. Like, that's what you should do.
Like, don't listen to the zombie, even if he's right. Like, you don't know that until you prove it to yourself.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and I think also, it's kind of an interesting idea. I was thinking about it. Do you think this movie would work in a reversal if Julie were the zombie? And do you think that the themes would still work?
I think the themes would
work. I wonder how likely it is that a female zombie would be able to kidnap a dude.
My point would be, I don't think America's ready for an unattractive dot. Like, you know, like, she could be attractive, like,
female lead?
Yes. Like, in that way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that we can deal with that.
Ridiculous.
Like, Lewis and I had a conversation actually comparing this movie to a really terrible movie. That we watched on Netflix accidentally, like, 2 or 3 years ago, called Dead Girl. Did you guys see it?
Oh, really?
It was incredibly disturbing and upsetting, and it was about, like, a group of three guys basically holding a zombie hostage to have sex with her.
Oh, gross.
I feel like I heard about that.
And it was just...
Was it, like, in a basement or something?
Yes, it was maybe the most disturbing movie I've ever seen in my whole life. We didn't watch the whole thing through, so I can't, like, talk about the ending or anything like that. But, like... When Lou and I were talking about, like, a reversal and stuff like that, and the thing is, like, men are so averse to being the weaker person, and then men are also averse to, like, untraditional attractiveness, and, you know, like, male audiences, like, the male gaze in cinema. Not to, like, men out there, I appreciate you listening, one, to my lady podcast, and two, having enlightened opinions about things. So I don't mean to draw broad generalizations, and I'm sure, like, female audiences might buckle under it as well, but my concern would be with it, the marketability.
Yeah.
Like, really, well, you can't, like, make a poster of an ugly zombie chick. Like, who's gonna want to see that movie?
Yeah. I'd see it, but I mean, like, again, like,
well, I mean, yeah,
I mean, like, we'd all see it, like, it's just,
out,
you know, like,
we would all see it,
but
I think,
I would argue that thematically it would work if you could, like, you know, like, but it's a little, you know, like, again, it's, to me, like, the real controversy would be in reversing the pursuer role, the traditional gender arrangement of boy meets girl, not girl meets boy, you know, like, that's the thing.
Also, this is only tangentially related to that point, but, this movie, like, the night before I went to see it, somebody told me that the reason he falls in love with her is because he eats her boyfriend's brain. And I was not happy about that.
No, and he sees her, and before he leaves the brain.
I appreciated that, like, he sees her first and is already attracted.
Yeah.
And then happens to eat Perry's brain and, like, get to understand her better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I liked the idea that the way he explains it in the movie, which is, like, he can't communicate. This is the only way he can learn things about her.
Yeah, yeah.
And to kind of get to know who she is as a person, as opposed to just this thing that he sees who talks right. to him occasionally. Absolutely. But, like, I kind of appreciate that
attraction before anything happens, like, between them. That
it, yeah.
That wasn't, like, because he ate this person, he became, like, you know, it wasn't, like, a proxy deal.
No. And I also feel like it does also, I mean, not that they really touch on this, but I could see in terms of the way you see somebody at a party and you look up their Facebook profile and you yeah. learn things about them that way. You
oh
know,
my
like,
God, you create... eating her boyfriend's brain was Facebook stalking.
That's 100% true. Oh my God. Good one, Flumps. Good catch.
Oh. But I feel like that's, you know, that's what
he's totally being a creeper. Like, there are all those great early creeper scenes.
And then we have to be like, R, and remind ourselves, don't be creepy, don't be creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. My question, though,
his, like, version of don't be creepy would just turn around and walk into the other room.
Where is he keeping, like, he keeps snacking on Perry's brain. Like, where is he storing it, right? Like, does he have, like, a Ziploc baggie?
Like, what's going on?
So fucking gross. Like, that was the, like, there's, like, that one scene where we see it on his fingers a little, and, like, that was my most, like, gag moment of the movie. But I really do, like, I like the idea that they want to eat the brains more. Because of this, like that, like to me, was like the most clever aspect of their zombie. Yeah, exactly. Like zombies eat brains.
The dreaming thing too. Yeah. The dreaming thing was great. I love
that they don't get to dream, and then that was.
They can't fall asleep. They can't dream, and that's the instant that you know. I love those moments when you're an audience member and you're like, oh, this is happening. Like I've been told about this before, and I liked a lot of the There was some the flashback he has with Perry, and when it was really great in the interconnectedness when they bring back certain aspects, like they didn't feel like there was anything extraneous in the movie, which was really rare.
It's very tight.
But that scene, the entrance that nobody knows about, that he remembers, so he's able to sneak into the city.
Yeah, brilliant. Could backwards engineer it. Brilliant. Like that was great. I liked that a lot.
That was great. I really love that aspect of it. Like something that you'd seen an hour previously in the movie.
Right. And you remember, but they don't tell you what's going on. Like you're just supposed to recognize he's going down these stairs that they went up in this memory that he had. Like.
It's great. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I really liked how pared down and streamlined it was. Yeah. Like I really thought that it moved in an extremely followable and like, I thought it was really well paced and like put together.
It reminded me a lot of.
It's a script that I would want to read.
Yeah, like it reminded me a lot of the feeling I had when I left Zombieland, which was a really tight, like really well constructed, like movie with a funny edge about zombies, and I think it's really like it's like and like I'm excited too about I posted earlier this week about World War Z, and you know like with The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. How far did you guys get in the last season of The Walking Dead?
I haven't watched this past season. I've seen the second season.
So I'm going to tell you a spoiler, and that is that one of the characters gets bitten in one of their limbs, and they cut off the limb, and the guy totally lives. It does work. It's what's saving The Walking Dead from being the bleakest fucking show on television. Right? Like, I'm pleased with the ways that we're not... Like, you know, like, the thing is with traditional horror filmmakers, I feel like they've been compelled to stick to what is an exceedingly depressing, like, mythology of, like, yes, they're moving slow, but yes, they're going to get you, you know,
well,
like,
the
or
like,
they're running and they're going to get you and there's no escaping it. Oh, you got a drop of blood in your eye? They totally got you. You know, like, it's one of the most zombie stuff is, if you're thinking about it from, like, a critical standpoint, some of the most depressing crap in a genre that's overwhelmingly depressing. So I'm really pleased with the fact that we're seeing people not feel, like, different treatments of it, different ideas about it, you know, like, and different perspectives as well than we've ever seen before. And, like, people
maybe... That was what was good about, like, the Zombie Survival Handbook, the other Max Brooks book.
Yeah.
It was like, well, these are things that people do, and like obviously it was treated again in a sort of documentary fashion.
Yeah.
It's the stud circle thing that he loves so much.
But
yeah.
Even he says it doesn't work to cut off the limb.
I know, but I don't care. Like, take it out. Change it. It makes it more interesting. It's refreshing
well, no,
the genre
true.
That
like,
is, you know, to use a pun.
Something, so it's not just like, this is the wave of zombies that's going to kill you. Like, see how long
it
takes.
I think it's also, what I like about it is that there's not just like a, here's an antibiotic that could cure it. Like, there's not really a deus ex machina in that way. I really like that a lot of it is something that you yourself have to do. You have to sacrifice something. Like, you have to be willing to cut off your arm, or you have to be willing, you have to be able to let yourself fall in love with someone and not let the bleakness of your situation get take hold of you. You have to have hope in order to survive.
Yes.
Which is a really interesting aspect.
And a really, like,
the people who...
We haven't talked very much about how the film is in many ways corny. But it didn't bother me. And I hate...
It didn't bother me at all.
It didn't feel corny to me. Like, I know it was, especially at some parts, but, like, it didn't feel corny at any point.
And this is the important point to note, is that I Lindsay Cronk, hate romantic comedies. I hate them. I hate them so much. I hate them. I hate the way they've framed our perspective as a culture on love, the ways in which love should be, you know, like, treated, and, like, our ideas of the rate at which romances should progress. Like, I get pissed off about it as a lady who took 5.5 years to marry the man she was living with. Like, it makes me angry. And so, this film, I loved it. Mash it up. Like, change that, too, because... Yes, it changed what we thought about zombie movies, but it also changed what I thought about romantic comedies, their limits, and their structural problems. Like, by putting them together, you have two things that are, there's a synergy to this movie that's really awesome.
Yeah. Well,
I really appreciated it.
I think also that there's this aspect, which when I was in, yes, I will admit now that I was a theater major, when I was in my theater history classes, thank you. We talked about melodrama, and one of the reasons why melodrama still works is that really we like to pretend that our lives have more, I don't know, like real gritty drama than they really do. Most of the time, your life is going to resemble a melodrama more than anything else because shit happens. And how many times have you talked about your life and you're like, God, I feel like I'm in a fucking soap opera. And it's because that's actually what your life is. Like, soap operas resemble your life more than we want to admit. And so watching a movie that's a little bit melodramatic, you actually connect with those characters more because you feel like there's a possibility that in real life, were all of these circumstances to match up, this could happen to you.
And there's also
if you happen to be shooting down a horde of zombies that come in while your boyfriend is doing a pharma call.
But there's also, there's also a feeling of catharsis about it too, right? Like you feel like there's... Like, the hopefulness that comes out of, like, the danger that they endure and the, like, terrible situations. Mm-hmm. Like, there are genuinely, like, terrible situations in the movie. Like, yes, her boyfriend that she's falling out of love with's brain gets eaten. Yes, her mother is dead. Yes, they're all living in these dire conditions. Like, her one friend lives, but, like, the three other kids that were on that, like, raiding party that we see in the beginning, they're dead. Like, and it's, there's a stress to it, and then there's a relief. And to me, as, like, an audience member, like, they, like, played with all of that in such a way that was great, but it never gave me, like, a sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, heartburn anxiety.
Yeah. Well, no, I never felt manipulated either. Like, I thought they did it in a really delicate, light-handed way that, you know, I didn't feel like, oh, this is the part where I'm supposed to feel blah, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, when I finished Argo, I think I've told you guys about this, but I had, like, a knot in my stomach for about an hour afterwards.
Wow.
Even though it was like, everybody knows how the movie's gonna end. Everyone knows, you know, that people are fine. Like, that just happens. Yeah. Like, that's, but you forget about that when you're watching the movie. It's a really great movie. But you definitely,
Argo.
Like, leave the movie still feeling like something's around the corner and gonna get you at some point in time.
No, I don't know what that's like at all. I did a whole blog post about how it took me most of a week to get over a horror movie.
I loved that blog post, by the way.
I like that this movie, again, we were talking about the very light touch in that there's a sense of suspense, but not a sense of, you're so wrapped up in it. You definitely, I mean, it didn't even feel like, it's funny because most movies I would say that they feel like a really good 3-hour movie doesn't feel like it's 3 hours. This movie was only an hour and 40 minutes long, and it felt longer, not because I was like, God, when is this movie over,
like,
but because I felt like they crammed a lot into
an
hour and 40 minutes.
It was a very full, very tightly woven movie. It was great. It was delicious. But what I was going to say about what I was going to say about
feel like there was a book that it was based on.
Yeah.
Like,
what I was like a whole book. The book that I read, by the way, that was crappy is called Generation Dead. And I will link to this stuff. And it is really, really, really bad. But what I was going to say is, like, with Argo, like, the difference is the way that they're building a suspenseful world. Like, in Argo, you have, like, people who have been hanging off of cranes. Like, even after you've gotten done worrying about all of your main characters, you're worrying about the poor, like, Iranian maid that, like, lied to the group of dudes. Like, you're worried about the Canadian ambassador and his wife and their, like, trip on the train out of Iran. Like, it's realistic to the point that you feel concerned for everyone who's involved. And so there's just, like, if you're a responsible human being that, like, has empathy at all, that's where the stress comes from. Like, this movie lets you feel like you're a teenager a little bit, right? Like, it puts you into this mindset, and, like, you're like, okay, it's gonna get taken care of. Yeah, it's
I mean,
cool.
You don't really have to care about anybody who's not yourself.
Except for Rob Corddry.
Mm-hmm. Okada's so worried for Rob Corddry.
When
so
the bonies were coming around, I was like, what's gonna happen?
When I realized that he was Mercutio, I had that moment where I was like, oh,
don't kill him. That was great, too. I loved, so, like, initially I was a little afraid we were going to have more of a conflict on his side, like, where he was like, this human girl, what are you doing with her? I was like, don't make me mad at Rob Corddry. Don't make me dislike him. But then he hits them instantaneously on, like, his golf cart thing. So good.
That was amazing, the, like, luggage train thing.
I love the Corddry brothers, and I love that I just keep seeing people from The Daily Show that keep popping up all the time.
Yeah.
And so every time I see them, I'm like, I have an instant affection for you. Totally.
How about the bonies are the worst thing ever?
They're such a smart move, though. Like, it's such a clever, like, storyline thing to have.
Yeah,
and I liked that there was a really great, in the same review I'd read, they were talking about how it's cheap CG done really, really well.
Yeah.
Like, this movie did not cost that much to make.
Well, you considering can tell that every single bony is the exact same animation. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, it's super cheesy.
Exactly the same time.
They honestly looks like recycled mummy. Like, remember in The Mummy, those guardsmen? And I was just like, that's great. Like, do that. That's awesome. Great.
Yeah. And it's scary enough because it's the idea of them. It's the, when you think about, and you know
the script
immediately
makes them scary. It's not the animation is good for what it is.
Yeah.
But it's when you find out what they are, that's what scares you.
Right?
Like, it's all in your head.
Gross and horrible, and you don't ever want them to be near you. And then suddenly there's, like, a wall of them. And you're like, meh.
I also love the whole, like, they'll eat anything with a heartbeat aspect. So that when you see that other people have a heartbeat, these corpses are getting a heartbeat.
Yeah, no,
that's, like,
that
such
really
a great
well foreshadowed, and, like, you're supposed to remember that. Because then suddenly they turn off.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that when he said they'll eat anything with a heartbeat, he was like, well, so will I. But at least I'm conflicted.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? It's really good. Really good around all around.
Let's see. So to kind of like go through, do we think, obviously, the Twilight movies, because this seems to have tried to be marketed at least to teenage girls, and that seems to be sort of working.
Yeah.
In that the
in the same way the bookstores are full of, you know, dark teen romance.
Yeah. I mean, they've said that a lot of the people buying tickets are teenagers, obviously.
That's good, though. I'm glad the teenagers are seeing this movie.
Oh, no, I think it's a great thing. But I mean, like, in terms of marketing, it's Summit. It's the same company that did make Twilight. Do you think we're going to see any of the same type of merchandise randomly popping up? Like, Edward Cullen's
hair dryers.
Unofficial merchandise.
Silhouettes, do you sleep? Like, do we think there's anything that's going to pop up out of this?
I feel like it's not quite such a phenomenon as Twilight, so I doubt if we're going to have the cardboard cutouts.
It's not, but they did make $20 million this weekend.
That's true. It won the top movie this weekend.
And I mean,
that's not even including today.
Yeah, I think
it's
that, like,
Friday numbers were really great.
I think there's a possibility for some merchandising, but if the group that's behind this is as clever, you know, like, if they have, like, as much control over it as I would suspect they do based on how clever their script is, You know, like how well produced and like delicately directed it was. I'm hopeful that it won't be as egregious as some of the Twilight merchandising.
Do you think honestly, I think it's kind of too smart to do as well. Like, it's too smart to put a movie to be as, you know, popular.
But I mean,
do you think that we'll see like the marketing of like the red hoodie or maybe like a turntable that's a warm body?
No! Can you imagine walking into Hot Topic in like a pre-rotted red hoodie?
Yeah, I could definitely imagine that. That's what I'm thinking right
red
now.
Red hoodie, zombie snow globe, the soundtrack on vinyl. Yeah. Like, these are all things
like a shitty version of the snow globe,
Yeah.
I really thought she was going to smash that into him as a weapon.
I'm really happy she didn't, because snow globes are really heavy.
I feel like
you can totally use those to destroy the brain.
Well, I was going to say, I think that this movie is definitely closer to Shaun of the Dead in some ways than it is to almost any other movie.
I think that,
I felt like the snow globe was really interesting in terms of, I thought it would roll and then it didn't, and I was really glad. I wouldn't be surprised if they turned that into a merchandising moment.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, no, they're going to release the soundtrack on vinyl, you know that.
I know,
Yeah, well, that's definitely going to happen.
But, I mean, that's totally fine. But, yeah,
that's
I can't wait for, like, the zombie...
I did like that his line about vinyl was that it sounded more alive, which is, like, really hipster, but it was also really cute at the time.
Yeah, it's like...
Like, that's all he wants is for things to be more alive.
Yeah, it's a really good... It's a really good use of it in the film. Like, everything they did, like, again, like, ties back in... Like, and then, you have the Polaroid camera, so you know that that's going to be, like, a thing. Like,
oh, yeah, that'll do. Yeah, that's true,
You know, like,
apocalyptic Instagram.
They've done a good job with that stuff, so I'm not too worried about it.
No.
In fact, like, you know, like, it's exciting stuff. Like, it's exciting to see, like, another good zombie come out, like, every 3 or 4 years at this point, right?
Yeah.
I do appreciate that, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I do much better with zombie comedy than with legit, like, serious zombie movies, because those feel like practice. They feel like learning films to me. Zombie comedy is like, I can laugh at.
No, I mean, like, I'm going to write, I think, a blog post myself, Nessa, because I was so inspired by your watching a horror movie thing. And mine's just going
to
be a reflection on
doing it to myself.
On what it is to be an optimist who loves horror movies and, like, to constantly walk in, like, hopeful that this one's going to turn out different. And just, like, what a slow practice and masochism that
is. This time, no way.
You know, and, like, convincing yourself that your main protagonist, because she's lived, maybe she can work it out and be okay. Like, you know, like, all of the rationalization that goes with that. But, like, in this movie, I really did, because people came out okay. Like, everybody came out okay. Like, John Malkovich is going to be okay, too. Rob Corddry's going to be okay as well. Like, I mean, everyone's okay. How good was that?
I really liked that. Like, everyone was fine, except for the people who were already dead.
Yeah.
I think that it's funny, because I have not the opposite, but a different kind of thing where I know I've talked about this before, but again, I feel like you have to earn your happy ending.
Yeah.
And, like, I want it, I kind of start out assuming every movie's going to end in kind of a bleak fashion, so if it ends in a happy ending and there doesn't seem to be enough of a build-up or, like, an earning of that happy ending, I get annoyed. So I really love that this movie, like, I felt like they earned it. Like, and it not necessarily in, like, a depressing way, not like they had to live such a terrible life for this to happen, but... Like, I felt like they laid out the premise
They overcame the obstacles that they gave themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they earned it.
And I liked also, I mean, kudos to Nicholas Holt, because that was some serious movement shit that he was doing in terms of the physicality of that role and how it wasn't until, like, that last shot that he felt 100% human.
He did smart things.
Even when he was alive again, there was still aspects of the zombie in him, which
I was irritated at the beginning of the movie, actually, that the zombies weren't being zombie enough. But if they were like, well, because they didn't like, you know, they didn't do the whole jerky, the Walking Dead deal, like they weren't as zombie as I expected or wanted them to be to begin with. But then, like, because they had to be a shallow enough level of zombie that we believed that they could get better, you know, it worked by the end of the film. And I did appreciate, like, Nicholas Holt did a fantastic job, and the makeup team did a great job
of
making him look very slightly less dead every shot.
I agree. Like, no, I mean...
Right, every time he blinked, you were like, that's a lot of eyeshadow, dude. But, like...
But they,
you know, really, like, even his hair looked slightly less zombie-ish as time wore on.
They, they spent their money in really smart ways, I think. Like, it's clear they got, a top-notch makeup crew. Like, you know, like, they did the right things with the money they had on this production.
Absolutely. I think every decision was really solid on this. Mm-hmm. Like, I really can't criticize anything about this movie.
Which is crazy.
Is there,
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But we've got, I mean, this is a movie that's coming out in kind of a rush of a renewal of, I guess, the young adult horror romance again, because we have Beautiful Creatures coming out on Valentine's Day.
That
and then Catching Fire is going to be coming out soon as well.
Oh, really? And already?
Hey, you guys.
Yeah, well, soon-ish. It's definitely before the end of the year.
You guys.
Wasn't
it? You guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's...
This girl is on fire.
Oh, God. That song, Just Because You Keep Saying It. I'm going to post it.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going to find that YouTube video, and I'm going to post it. But, I mean, do you think, is this a trend that is kind of, I mean, obviously, I don't know that this movie really deserves to be placed in that genre. However, you know, even though it's been marketed that way, but do you think this is a trend that's kind of on its way out in terms of between horror and romance? Or is this one that's, like, just getting started?
I think we haven't seen the bottom of it yet. I think that there's just such an appetite for it. And the thing is, we're not the target market. So even when I feel fatigued with it, we have to wait for, like... And girls keep getting older is the other thing, Flumpy. Like, the kids that are going to watch Beautiful Creatures for the first time at 14, they're a whole... Like, they're almost... They're not a generation away, but they're, like, a definite step away from those girls that were, like, 14 when they first read Twilight. You know, like, when Twilight was released for the first time. Like, it's just... The reason the tween market, people keep going and plumbing it, right, is that it's just... It turns over so fast, and there's always a new group of people for whom, like, this seems fresh, whether or not it is fresh.
So respectable.
Yeah.
Like, everything that happens in teen literature, well, not everything, but, like, the, you know, breadth of possibility in teen literature, and therefore, like, all teen media, is just, it's so much better than what people will tolerate as adults, or will tolerate for their smaller children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like... There's just so much going on, and it's great that we can finally sort of start delving into that, and it doesn't have to be high school movie after high school movie. Sometimes there's not high school at all, as is the case with A Walled City Full of Goats.
Yeah. Those goats seem awesome. I want to go.
I do love that moment when he was...
Fantastic. He's like, go with your friends, go with your friends. Don't stay here.
That was great.
I love that. He was like, don't smell me.
Yeah.
It was really good.
He was so upset about that goat for no reason.
Yeah. So he was hungry, dude. I wanted to eat it.
All right. So I think the general consensus was, go see this movie. It's a pretty great movie.
You should
support these types of teen movies. I like
Absolutely.
This.
Use your voting dollars to vote for media that's better.
Yeah.
Whatever team made this movie, I will see every single movie they make because they did such a good job.
I agree.
Yeah, I hope these writers keep doing more. All right, well, I think that wraps it up for all of us here for the Warm Bodies episode of Babes in the Woods. We hope to see you guys next time. Safe travels through the jungle of death on your way back home. And have a good evening.